Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is May 26th, 2021. I hope you guys are having a great, great week out there. And we have a great, great Current Sports coming your way. There is so much moving and grooving in the world of sports here in mid-Michigan and, of course, all over this nation. So much going on. And you know what? One of the big questions that I have for you all on today's Current Sports and how I'm going to be ushering in Segment B is by asking you where we are as a nation right now, how confident, how good do you feel about looking around all of the stadiums here in our nation and seeing spectators everywhere. Because we are seeing so many announcements about athletic venues going to full capacity very, very soon or somewhere close to full capacity. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching the NBA playoffs last night and, you know, I look at Phoenix, for example. You know, last night, the LA Lakers and the Phoenix Suns in round one of the NBA playoffs, they played game two last night out in Phoenix. And gosh, man, you look around and you see the crowd jumping up and cheering for the Suns. And, you know, just about every seat just about was filled, man. I mean, it just truly remarkable. And that atmosphere that we have been missing now for over a year is finally getting back. Finally. It's been a long time coming, folks, but we're finally getting there. And a lot of that is to do, of course, with the vaccines that much of our nation has taken. Still, a lot of people should take it. I mean, I think we're at like 40% of U.S. adults have taken, you know, the vaccine, are fully vaccinated right now. And there are so many encouraging signs. I mean, you got Dr. Anthony Fauci predicting now that the United States will, quote, approach some degree of normality, end quote, by the end of this summer. So, again, that is leading to many in the world of sports, many who are in charge of making decisions on stadiums in the world of sports, saying that, yeah, we are going to go to full capacity. But I want to know where you all are with that. Because I think for the most part, people that I've had discussions with have said, yeah, I'm ready to get back into the stadiums. I'm ready to sit there and watch my favorite team play. And I feel comfortable in doing so because of where we are right now as far as COVID numbers go, where we are right now as far as, you know, the vaccine is concerned. There are many that are feeling very good about going back and watching sports in person. So I'll be tackling that in segment B. And then later on, you know, I mentioned the NBA playoffs. I want to comment on the NBA playoffs. I want to talk about what we've seen so far. The NBA playoffs are off to a great, great start. You know, I mentioned that Lakers and Suns game. The Lakers were able to even the score last night. CP3 is hurt, though. Chris Paul, the leader of that Suns team, arguably the leader of the NBA, really. I mean, he is one of the best leaders this sport has ever seen. But you also had the Brooklyn Nets laying down the hammer on the Boston Celtics last night. And then a really entertaining game between the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers. And the Clips right now down 0-2 in that series. So I want to comment on all of the great storylines coming out of the NBA playoffs. Fun, 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 fun stuff. If you would like to be a part of the hour, you guys know that you can call in and leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can head over to facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. But hey, we've got some headliners coming your way. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Wednesday, May 26th. All right, so let's start here. I want to give you guys an update on what is happening in the Dean Shippey Capital Diamond Classic. Yes, the Diamond Classic is back in our lives. One of my favorite high school sporting events here in the Lansing area. And yesterday, we saw Pawama Westphalia fall at the hands of Okemos. That was a 6-5 final. Also, Eden Rapids did away with Lakewood 7-2, the final there. So the next round of games will take place on Thursday, and you'll have Grand Ledge taking on Portland at 5 p.m. And also at 5 p.m., you'll have DeWitt playing East Lansing. So the winner of the Grand Ledge and Portland game will move on to play Okemos, which again beat PW. And that matchup will take place on the 2nd. And the winner of DeWitt and East Lansing will move on to play Eden Rapids. And, you know, when we get to the semifinals, or I should say the that will be the semifinals. Yeah, that will be the semifinals to determine who will be the top four, the final four teams in the Diamond Classic. Those games will take place at Kircher Municipal Park. So fun, fun stuff there. And the championship will also be held at Kircher Municipal Park on June 7th. So mark your calendars there. But again, the Capital Diamond Classic will resume tomorrow. Exciting stuff there. Okay. Okemos student athletes will no longer compete as the Chiefs after district leaders cast a vote 30 years in the making, folks. The Okemos Public Schools Board of Education voted unanimously on Monday to stop using the Chiefs nickname, which an increasing number of students, alumni, and residents say is an offensive caricature of indigenous people. Now, the board hopes to adopt a new mascot by the year 2023. This decision comes after decades of discussing surrounding Okemos Public Schools moniker, which was picked for the town of Okemos namesake, Chief Okemos. So that's where that name came from. But, we're seeing a lot of sports organizations and schools across our nation make similar decisions because many indigenous people believe that it's just offensive, which I totally understand. I mean, we saw what happened with the Washington football team moving away from that name, which I won't mention ever again here on Current Sports, because again, it offends Native Americans here in America. So I'm glad that the Washington football team made that change. I was all for that, and I'm all for this move here. Long, long overdue. All right, Michigan State's Bailey Peterson has been named the Big Ten Conference Baseball Co-Player of the Week. That was announced by the conference office yesterday afternoon. The Big Ten Award is Peterson's second accolade in as many days after being named to Collegiate Baseball's National Players of the Week's list, announced by the publication on Monday afternoon. Now, while this is Peterson's first career Big Ten Award, it is MSU's fourth individual Big Ten accolade this season, as sophomore outfielder Zade Walker was Player of the Week for the opening week on March 10th. Freshman pitcher Nick Powers garnered co-freshman Player of the Week honors on March 30th. And senior pitcher Sam Benscooter, he collected co-pitcher of the week recognition back in late April. So awesome stuff. Congratulations to Bailey Peterson of the Michigan State baseball team. All right, Cleveland starter Aaron Civale, he pitched into the ninth inning against the Detroit Tigers, limiting them to 6 hits and 1 walk while he was on the mound. The Tigers now fall to 18-30 as they took a 4-1 loss on Tuesday at Comerica Park. Detroit has dropped 4 games in a row and 2 straight against Cleveland to begin the 4-game series. The offense scored its lone run on 7 hits and 2 walks with 8 Ks. The Tigers finished 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Yeah, that's not going to win you many games there if you cannot bat guys in. The third of 4 games is scheduled for 7:10 p.m. tonight. Righty Jose Ureña is starting, but Cleveland has not yet announced its starting pitcher. So we'll see if the Tigers can get on the winning track come tonight. Okay, you know, I mentioned those athletic venues across our nation making the decision to hold capacity crowds very, very soon. Well, capacity crowds will be a thing again for your Detroit Lions at Ford Field come this fall. The latest rollback of COVID-19 restrictions in Michigan, announced last week by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, means that the Lions will not have limits on crowd size for home games in 2021. Whitmer's latest plan called for indoor capacity limits to increase to 50% on June 1st. Previously, there was a 20% capacity limit for large outdoor gatherings. Now, at the start of the pandemic, indoor venues were limited to just 300 people. Isn't that amazing to think about? Now, per a May 20th press release, quote, the state will no longer limit capacity at indoor or outdoor gatherings beginning July 1st. So how about that, folks? We will see capacity and we'll see a lot of Honolulu Blue gear and crazed fans come this fall for your Detroit Lions at Ford Field. Awesome stuff. All right. Following his breakout season, Detroit Pistons forward Jerami Grant was a finalist for the NBA's Most Improved Player Award. Jerami Grant had a fantastic year. Now, while he received significant support, he came just short of winning it. New York Knicks forward Julius Randle, he ended up winning it. So he is the NBA's Most Improved Player. The announcement was held yesterday. Grant finished in second place with 140 total votes, receiving 2 first-place votes, 33 second-place votes, and 31 third-place votes. Randle received the remaining 98 first-place votes and 1 second-place vote for 493 points, while Denver Nuggets forward Michael Porter Jr., he ended up placing third with 138 total votes. And I totally agree with this decision. You know, Jerami Grant had one heck of a year. You know, shout out to his dad, Horace Grant, right? But Jerami had a great, great year. But Julius Randle just took his game to another level. And I think I told that story of how Julius Randle You know, shout out to the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant. But Julius Randle, who played with Kobe for, you know, a few years, you know, Julius Randle, he learned the value of work ethic from the great Kobe Bryant. And he told of how when Kobe was on the road, when the plane would touch down and they would have a road game, a road trip, the first thing that Kobe would do, even before getting to the hotel, was find a court to get shots up at. How crazy is that? On the road, it doesn't matter what time that plane touched down, it could be like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, Kobe would not go to sleep until he got some shots up at some gym. And look, you know, the host arena may not be open at that time. So a lot of times Kobe would actually have his people call ahead and try and find like a local high school gym to get shots up at if they were getting in real late. And he would ask kindly if that gym would stay open for him to come and, you know, have a ride straight from the plane to that gym to get shots up. So Julius Randle learned this, and he began to adopt this past season. And during a New York Knicks road trip to none other than the city of Detroit to play the Detroit Pistons, Julius Randle called ahead to try and find a local high school gym to shoot at. And I forget which local high school gym it was, but also Julius Randle would bring along his teammates to get shots up as well, to build that team camaraderie and also try and pass down the lesson that Kobe Bryant taught him to his teammates. So Julius Randle gets to this local Detroit high school gym. The guy is standing there waiting to open up the doors for him. And he says, you know, he looks at Julius and says, "Wow, that's pretty impressive, man. You know, I think the last person I did this for was Kobe Bryant." Wow. I mean, that's an amazing story. I love telling that story, as you can tell. And Julius Randle mentioned how, you know, when he heard this said from this individual, he got goosebumps, man. So, yeah, Kobe Bryant's legacy is alive and well in the NBA today. Okay, from that story to this troubling one, Keith Appling was arrested on Monday by Michigan State Police in Chelsea in connection to a fatal shooting that occurred on Saturday night on Detroit's West Side. The former Michigan State University basketball star was named a suspect in the shooting that left a 66-year-old man dead on Saturday evening. Police say Appling fired multiple gunshots, then fled the scene in a Buick Regal, and a search ensued for Appling on Sunday. According to police, Appling, he got into a verbal altercation with the victim, and I'm hearing, you know, courtesy of multiple reports that this victim was a family member of Appling's. My goodness. And it just makes it even, that just makes it worse, right? But, you know, anyway, Appling, he gets into a verbal altercation with the victim, and it turned physical before shots were fired on the 132nd block of Whitcomb around 7 p.m. on Saturday. The victim was pronounced dead at the scene. Appling was arrested without incident at the 1500 block of Commerce Park Drive in Chelsea by state troopers. A firearm was also recovered during the arrest. So that's according to Michigan State Police. The incident is still under investigation, but, you know, as I highlighted on Monday's Current Sports, this is just the latest unfortunate, troubling, head-scratching chapter in the life that is Keith Appling. All right, Theo Day has found his next school. The former Michigan State quarterback confirmed on Tuesday that he has committed to transferring to Northern Iowa. Day entered the portal on April 28th. That's 4 days after the Spartans finished spring practice. Northern Iowa is an FCS program from the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Day was third on the depth chart last season behind starter Rocky Lombardi and backup Peyton Thorne, who started the final game after Lombardi was injured. Michigan State brought in grad transfer quarterback Anthony Russo from Temple in the offseason, which led to Lombardi transferring to Northern Illinois. So Theo Day has found his next home in the world of college football. Okay, a quick update concerning the the NHL playoffs and the MLB, the NBA playoffs. I'm thinking about the Tigers for some reason. I was thinking, okay, did I cover the bases when it comes to them? Pun intended, but I did in the headliners, okay? the NBA and the NHL playoffs, alive and well, folks. And a quick update when it comes to Tuesday's games. In the NHL playoffs, we saw the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Montreal Canadiens. In the North, first round, game four, Toronto leads that series now 3-1. And a matchup that went to overtime, the Carolina Hurricanes beat the Nashville Predators 3-2, the final there. That was game five, as Carolina leads that series 3-2. And, I briefly went through these games at the top of the hour, but if you didn't check out last night's NBA slate in the NBA playoffs, boy, oh boy, you missed out on two thrilling games. The Celtics and Nets game, that was just a snoozer, as the Brooklyn Nets beat down the Boston Celtics to take a 2-0 series lead, 130-108 the final there. But the LA Lakers and Phoenix Suns game, that one was really, really good. A 7-point win for the Los Angeles Lakers, 109-102, as the Lakers were able to avoid that 0-2 hole in that series. The series is now all knotted up, 1-1. What's really remarkable about that, like the Lakers evening the score there, is that, throughout LeBron James' incredible NBA career, did you know that he has never gone down 0-2 in the first round of the NBA playoffs? And he's played a lot of first-round games, right? He's never gone down 0-2 in the first round. Pretty amazing stat right there. That's pretty mind-boggling. And then a game that went on around the same time as the Lakers and Suns. I don't know why the NBA did this. A bit unfair to the Dallas Mavericks and the LA Clippers. I mean, most of the NBA world was locked into the Lakers-Suns game. But, I did catch like the last 5 minutes after the Lakers and Suns game was done. I caught the last 5 minutes of the Dallas Mavericks win over the LA Clippers. That was a 127-121 final. Really good game. Luka Doncic is not human. He had 39 points last night. Kawhi Leonard, though, he was also fantastic. He had like 30 points in the first half, but Kawhi would only score like, 10 or 11 points in the second half. He finished with 41 points. And now Dallas is shocking everyone as they lead that series against the Clippers 2-0. How insane is that, right? I did not predict that. I thought that the Clippers would at least at this point in the series, have the series tied 1-1. So a bit of a shocking outcome last night there. Luka Doncic, though, man, I love watching that dude play. Okay. Well, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you would like to weigh in on anything that is on your sports noggin, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Simply call that number. Leave us a voicemail at that number. You can also head over to facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. And when we come back, I want to really dive into, the conversation that is sports venues going back full go, going capacity. Very, very soon here in our nation. How comfortable do you feel? And how good is it just to turn on the tube and watch your favorite team? And when they pan to the stands, when that camera pans to the stands, seeing a lot of fans resuming rooting on your favorite team. That's awesome stuff, folks. All right. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll have that discussion and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And I just want to touch upon this because, you know, I know that some of you out there have mixed emotions about, you know, what we're seeing in our nation right now. But I think the majority of us in our nation is feeling very encouraged about the fact that we are seeing many sporting venues out there really go back to normal. It's pretty remarkable. It really is. You know, after a year, well, over a year, I should say, in which we saw the sports world, our nation, totally in disarray due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are now finally getting to a point where we are beating this thing. You know, are our infections still happening? Yeah. People are still getting COVID. People are still dying from COVID. So I don't want to downplay that at all. But when you evaluate the numbers, people aren't catching COVID or dying from COVID in the rate that we saw, you know, not that long ago, folks. And a lot of that has to do with the vaccine, for sure. A lot of that has to do with us as United States citizens doing what we need to do in order to stop the upward number of COVID-19. You know, it's been a tough year, hasn't it? You know, it really has. You know, I was, I've been prepping throughout this week for a sit down with a remarkable, remarkable woman by the name of Rhonda Lee. Rhonda Lee is actually a visiting nurse. That's what she does. She travels to the homes of patients and treats them. And our fantastic team here at WKAR-TV, well, they decided to put together a documentary profiling her life in the midst of the pandemic. And it was really, you know, if you haven't seen COVID Diaries, check it out. You know, all you got to do is just simply Google COVID Diaries, WKAR, and it will pop right up. And what our team did was just, you know, let her tell the story, basically, you know, which is that's what documentaries are, you know, and you organize it and you ask certain questions, especially during the interviews, right? But, you know, she recorded on her smartphone, you know, day after day, her job and her thoughts on being a nurse during this time. And, you know, I just watched her, you know, gather so much strength as she would talk about the death and the sadness that she would experience on the job, as she would profile how her personal life would change as you know, she had to sleep in a separate room from her partner because she didn't want to infect her partner with COVID. As she would talk about how, you know, her aunt had passed away from COVID in late March. You know, seeing it from that perspective, from Rhonda Lee's perspective, being directly on the front lines, you know, I can't lie, I got a little bit emotional watching it. But I bring that up because I'm preparing an interview with Rhonda. I'll be sitting down with her for WKAR-TV for one of our pledge specials come this Thursday. So tomorrow, I'll be at the WKAR-TV studios recording this. And as I began to prep for this, I just thought about, you know, how far we've come as a nation. And then where we are today, specifically in the sports world with this thing. Because I'll never forget, you know, that Oklahoma City Thunder game, right? When we found out about the first case in the sports world, you know, Rudy Gobert catching COVID-19. And then it was like once that happened, like everything just shut down. Everything just came to a halt. And then the numbers began to go up. And then the deaths began to go up. And then quarantine began to happen. And it really made us all evaluate just how precious this thing we call life is. And now we have Anthony Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Disease, who has been one of the guiding voices for us here in America when it comes to how we should navigate in the COVID-19 pandemic era. We have Anthony Fauci saying that he predicts that our nation will approach some degree of normality by the end of August, by the end of this summer. Remarkable. And I give a lot of credit to, like 500 truckloads of credit to those on the front lines, like Rhonda Lee, and those scientists who really, I mean, that's a miracle. I mean, we have so many diseases out here, so many viruses that we don't have any vaccines for, right? But the fact that they were able to put together, that these scientists were able to put together a vaccine in a matter of months to give us protection against COVID-19 is remarkable. And look, yeah, I had hesitancy because that's not normal, you know, to put together a vaccine in a matter of months for a virus. I just, you know, that just kind of like made me say, huh? You know, okay, what are the side effects here? But then, you know, looking at, you know, I remember specifically when my grandmother got both doses, and I'm monitoring her very closely. She's 93 years young. Love her to death. And I remember monitoring her, and she said that she had no symptoms other than maybe like a sore arm for a few hours. And I said, wow, this is amazing. And she's protected against COVID-19. If she can do it, I can do it. And in the black community, there is still so much hesitancy when you discuss the vaccine, just because if you look at the history of experimentation on our bodies in the healthcare system, it doesn't give us a lot of confidence in the healthcare system, especially when you're talking about a vaccine. But I took it. I took both doses. I feel great. And the fact that all races, colors, and creeds have taken the vaccine, and for the most part, I mean, other than what, like a small, very minuscule percentage of people having like crazy side effects, like most people are fine. I feel confident that I did the right thing. And it's those vaccines that have led us to get to this point. Whereas sports fans, very soon here in this state of Michigan, we are going to be able to go to a ball game and not have to worry about social distancing. Mask wearing will be very limited. I must say, when it comes to wearing my mask, I probably will always now keep a mask on me. You know, just in case somebody has the sniffles next to me and I don't want to catch anything. You know, just having a mask now, I didn't realize just how much I like them, I must say. You know, it's just, you know, catching the common cold, that's something that all of us, you know, have caught. and you say to yourself, man, if I wasn't around that person, I probably, you know, if I wasn't around that coworker, but, you know, if you have a coworker who's coughing or who's sniffling, you know, at the job, well, first off, they shouldn't be at the job if they're coughing and sniffling, but we all know in the world we live in, the workaholic culture that we live in here in America, you know, sometimes we'll have a cough or a sniffle and we'll go to work, but just having a mask on hand just in case, you know, you don't want to catch anything, I think it's convenient. Kind of open my eyes to tell you that. So I'll probably always keep a mask on me. But, you know, we're approaching a time now where, you know, mask wearing is going to be limited. And if you want to rock it, you rock it. If you don't, you don't. It's amazing to see where we are now. And I must say, you know, knowing that, you know, I am now fully vaccinated, you know, I move a different way. I move a different way from the perspective of my internal thoughts when I leave my front door now. Where I went from, okay, let me make sure I got my hand sanitizer, let me make sure I'm social distancing, let me make sure I have my gloves on. When I went from that at the very beginning of the pandemic to now, you know, when I hit that front door, you know, I just make sure I have my mask and I'm good, man. You know, I got hand sanitizer in the car. But I don't overthink things now. There is this confidence that I now move with. Still take precaution for sure, because it's not like the pandemic just, you know, grabbed its coat and hat and said, all right, I'm out of here. No, it's still out there. But I feel better about where I am health-wise and the risk that I'm taking when going out that front door. My thoughts about that risk have changed. So, you know, for me, man, being fully vaxxed, you know, as a fan of sports, you know, I don't have many reservations about going to a sporting event, knowing that I'm fully protected. Now, maybe, you know, if I was not fully vaccinated, for those who haven't gotten any shot, I don't know about that one. I tell you what, I would be masking up everywhere I went. I tell you that. But knowing that I have the vaccine in my body, you know, for me, I have no reservations about going to a large event. I just don't. I don't know. That's just me, though. And that's why I want to ask you guys. I mean, knowing that, I mean, and I'm looking at headlines across this nation, you know, 2 days ago, Maryland Athletics to allow full capacity at all sporting events for the 2021-2022 season. LSU announces full capacity for all outdoor sporting events. Texas Athletics to return to 100% capacity at outdoor athletics. UT, 5 days ago, hosted its first sporting event at 100% capacity. Bank of America Stadium to allow full capacity for ECU Appalachian State, the opener in college football. Michigan Athletics having those discussions. And also, you know, Michigan Athletics is talking about going to mobile tickets for all sporting events. You know, it's awesome, man. All of these venues are opening up. You know, in Michigan Stadium, to piggyback off that last story I mentioned, you know, Michigan Stadium can return to full capacity this football season. The same thing with Michigan State football. You know, how amazing that is going to feel after a year in which we didn't see any fans in the stands at the Big House in Ann Arbor. Or at Spartan Stadium here in East Lansing, how amazing that is going to feel. It's going to feel like a collective sigh of relief, right? A big exhale. That we're finally getting to a place of normality here in our nation. Even though I don't think that, you know, we are going to be like fully normal until, you know, sometime next year, I think we're still going to see a lot of masks out there. You know, people, you know, there's when you go to a sporting event, you're going to see like probably more than a handful. It's going to be more than a handful of people who are still going to just carry their mask around. And some may be like me and may just carry one around all the time now. Just have one handy. Just in case, right? But, you know, I didn't realize how much I missed fans. Probably not until, like, this past weekend. You know, as I sat back and watched that incredible atmosphere in South Carolina at the PGA Championship, Phil Mickelson coming down that 18th hole, about to put the finishing touches on a remarkable four rounds, becoming the oldest golfer in the history of the sport to win a major championship, and to see the massive crowd there. You know, one guy, as Phil, you know, after he hit his second shot to get on the green, you know, one guy is grabbing Phil's shoulders and whatnot. You know, everybody's rooting and going crazy. Everybody happy, with the exception of what Brooks Koepka, right? You said that somebody dinged his knee. I mean, come on, dude. Come on, man. But seeing that atmosphere, that added to that incredible historic moment for Phil Mickelson and the sport of golf, I just said to myself, man, I've missed this. And then, you know, turning the channel later on and watching the NBA playoffs and seeing fans in the stands during, you know, like the Lakers-Suns game one. And I'm sitting there saying, wow, I mean, I miss seeing the fans there. This adds to the atmosphere. I don't think it was until this past weekend where I said to myself, man, I didn't say to myself I missed the fans, but where it really hit me, where I really got a visual representation of how fandom at a sporting venue, at a sporting event, impacts the enjoyment of watching it. It really didn't hit me until this past weekend, just how much I've missed it. But what are your thoughts? I'm all in on this. I think those who want the vaccine have gotten it. Those who didn't get it are, you know, they won't ever get it. You know what I'm saying? And looking at the numbers, though, the numbers are going down, you know, and in the last Michigan State Athletics report, I mean, I think for like back-to-back weeks now, we've seen like, or maybe even longer now, we've seen back-to-back reports at least of no positive tests for any staff members in MSU athletics and no positive tests for any student athletes. We're finally getting there, folks. So how good do you feel about going to a Michigan State football game this upcoming fall? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll give final thoughts for this hour centered on the NBA playoffs. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You guys know I am a major, major NBA fan, and this is the time of the year where I really lock in, just like many NBA fans out there, where we really lock in because it's NBA playoff time. And I love it, too, because, you know, talk about these four, you know, these seven-game series, I should say, happening across the league, you know, seeds 1 through 8. I mean, you got multiple games every single day, at least 3 NBA games every single day. And, you know, it's been really interesting to see what's happening, what's shaking down in the NBA right now. Earlier this hour, I mentioned how the Brooklyn Nets are just making it look easy against the Boston Celtics, a beat up Boston Celtics team. Jason Tatum went out that game yesterday. Just really unfortunate to see how the season is shaking out for the Celtics. A lot of injuries there, and the Nets are taking advantage of it as they have a 2-0 series lead. Really no major thoughts on that one because I think the Nets are probably going to sweep the Celtics at this point. But the Lakers, Suns, Mavericks, Clippers, so intriguing there. It must be really tough being a Clippers fan, right? I mean, you have a good team, talent all around, but now you're looking at an 0-2 series hole? I mean, my goodness. I thought the Clippers were going to pull that one off last night. But Luka Doncic had other plans. And how about Tim Hardaway Jr., who was big as well? That boy can shoot, can he? But a 6-point win for the Mavs last night, and now, you know, you got many people in many NBA circles thinking that now the Clippers may get swept. Disappointing. You know, you got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, one of the most dynamic duos in all of the league, and they still can't get the job done. And a lot of that has to fall on Doc Rivers as well. It's just no excuse, man. I think that the Clippers are a better team than the Mavs, even though the Mavs do have Luka Doncic, but come on, man. And then the Lakers, you know, again, throughout, if you missed my stat earlier this hour, throughout the career of LeBron James, a historic career to say the least, he has never gone down 0-2 in the first round of an NBA playoff series. Insane, right? So the Lakers even the score, as LeBron James has done many times when losing the first game of an NBA first round playoff series. The Lakers even the score. Series tied 1-1 with a 109-102 Lakers victory over Phoenix last night. And then, you know, CP3, you can tell he's laboring a bit, man. That shoulder is not 100%. Cameron Payne was big, though. Cameron Payne has no fear. I mean, that young dude put on a show last night and gave the Suns everything he had. We'll see if he can continue that, though. I would like to see more from Mikal Bridges, who played great defense on LeBron throughout like 85 to 90% of that game until LeBron broke out in those final 3 minutes and stopped just jacking up threes and started posting up. But, you know, the Lakers got the job done. You know, the Suns are a bit beaten up. And Chris Paul always has like these untimely injuries. Do we remember just a few years back when he was a member of the Houston Rockets and that Rockets team pushed the Golden State Warriors to a Game 7, but Chris Paul couldn't play in that Game 7 because of a hamstring injury? And Chris Paul had an amazing series up until that point. And now with the Suns, you know, the Suns had a 1-0 series lead, a golden opportunity to go up 2-0 on the defending NBA champions. Chris Paul isn't 100%. They lose. So, yeah, and Devin Booker's got to be Devin Booker the entire game, not just in the second half. He began to wake up in that third quarter, but that first half, I'm just sitting there waiting on Devin Booker to score, to be assertive. So now things go back to L.A., and L.A. has stolen home court advantage from the Suns. Momentum is on the side of L.A. and, you know, Phoenix, which finished with the second-best record in all of the league, second to only the Utah Jazz. You know, now they've got some work to do. But tonight, Wizards 76ers at 7 p.m. 7:30, so just 30 minutes after that tip time, the Hawks will take on the Knicks. MSG, I know MSG is going to bring it, man. This is the first time the Knicks have been in the playoffs in a long, long time. And right now, Atlanta leads that series 1-0, courtesy of Trae Young pulling off some late-game heroics in Game 1 for the Hawks. And then later on at 10 p.m., I really like this series, man. But Memphis, after stunning the number one seed in the West, Utah, in Game 1, Utah will try to enact a bit of revenge in Game 2 out in Salt Lake City at 10 p.m., all right? So, thrilling stuff in the NBA playoffs. I'm really enjoying it, folks. But we're out of time. We are out of time. We are going to take a 23-hour break. We'll see you back here same time, same place on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I want you all to be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.